All right. Listen. Again, it's an unusual time. Let's listen specifically to the Spirit of God and also to His Word. Amen? Let's do that. Because God gives moments like these. The world doesn't recognize it, but this really is a God moment. Wouldn't it be interesting to find out about certain people that there was a time, I mean, they're looking for a time when they can wind up hearing the gospel. We got a call this last week, and I don't think she would mind me sharing this. We got a call this last week from a pastor up in Ukiah. There's a lady that their church was praying for, and she didn't get saved. She moved down here. She lives nearby, but she hasn't. We need to go by and see her. I left a message with her yesterday. But now she says, I want to know how to get saved. She came down here and she wound up in the hospital in Kaiser over in Roseville. And so she had relatives that came and said, "Can you tell me how to be saved?" They said, "Well, you know, we're a little bit uncomfortable." The pastor's wife came down and led her to Christ. She says, "I'm so thankful somebody told me." She got out of the hospital and then the very next day had to go back in. So I don't know her situation right now. But praise God, she said, "You know, I need to know how to get saved." She had to wait 2 weeks, but she found out. You know, we don't know what that could be down the road. You know, somebody that you and I know, "Hey, I need to know how to be saved." Because people are getting shook up on this. So let's pray. Let's ask God to open our hearts. Heavenly Father, by your grace, I pray that you would speak. Lord, if there's anyone here that is struggling with their salvation, I pray they'd get that settled. These last few weeks, as we've had visitors and they have heard the gospel plan, I pray that even now, with this situation, that they would be stirred to look to that one that loved them so much. Lord, I pray that you'd speak here. Speak to us in this unique time. We pray for our nation. We will continue to pray for our nation. Pray for our leaders here in California, in Washington. Lord, more than anything else, we want to see you glorified. Your will be done. I pray in Christ's name. Amen. So I had started this series after doing some introduction. 6 things God can do. 6 things God can do. The first one we looked at was this. God can turn darkness into light. He can turn bondage into freedom. This morning, we're going to be looking at this. God can turn doubt into assurance. Now, again, our president has called for a day of prayer. I hope and pray we are going to be going to our God and praying. Please. This is such an opportune time. So tonight, again, at 6 p.m., it's not a time for television. It's not a time for going out to eat. It's a time for praying. I will be here. If you want to join here, great. If not, do it at home, fine. But let's pray. Amen? Amen? Please, let's do that. You know, there's several things that we need to think about what might be coming down the road. So there's specifics that we need to be praying for. We don't know how these next several weeks will affect our nation. It could be devastating to working families. It could be devastating to the body of Christ when it comes to local churches and how they suffer possibly. We just don't know. God's in control. Let's pray for each other. By the way, it's not just this COVID-19 or whatever, coronavirus, whatever you want to call it. There's also other flus going around. People can still get sick. We need to pray for them. Also, can we do this? Let's pray for the works of the wicked one to be thwarted. Lord, hold back Satan and his minions. And by the way, let's be vigilant in our own lives. Let's make sure that we're keeping on top of it when it comes to our spiritual warfare. And by the way, this is spiritual warfare. It's not just a virus. It's what people are doing with this. It's how people are affected. Let's think about that. Pray for our Lord to be lifted up. And again, pray that people will come to know the Lord through all this. All right. Last week, we touched on this, from bondage to freedom. Now, there's a good reason why we return to this, just briefly, but we return to it. Remember, we looked last Sunday and we saw this. Satan's strongholds are thoughts. What is a stronghold? Somebody has put it like this. A stronghold is a mindset impregnated with hopelessness that causes me to accept as unchangeable something that we know is contrary to the will of God. That is not what we're supposed to be standing on. Thoughts are statements. Statements that we make to ourselves, the words we say to ourselves. The Word of God tells us how to be victorious. But the problem is sometimes we're listening more to ourselves than we're listening to the Word of God. Listen, James chapter 4. James said, "Submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God and he will draw nigh to you." Now that's a promise. "Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded." Now, double-mindedness is another way of saying you're wishy-washy when it comes to what you believe. We ought not to be that way. There's a cure for that. You get this book, you get into this book, find out what God's Word has to say, hear it with the heart, meditate on it, let it take root in your spirit, and let faith arise in your heart. You can know. You can go, as we transition from last week to this week, you can go from doubt to assurance. Paul the Apostle said, "I know whom I have believed." There's a reason for that. He let the Word of God and the God of the Word do a work in his heart. It's not because he was some kind of super Christian. He called himself the chief of sinners. God can do the same work in your heart and mine. If you have a hard time swallowing that, therein is the challenge. You need to quit listening to yourself and start listening to God's Word and His Spirit. Amen? Amen? Come on, folks. If we do not believe... Well, I'm getting ahead of myself. I need to slow down, Rogers. Cool it. Cool your jets. We'll get there soon enough. Watch this. Okay? Remember when we looked at this. The Lord said in Matthew 6... I just read it this last week in my devotions. "Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they?" This is what he says. Now, we've put ourselves into a place where we can have heat and air conditioning. I love it. However, there's one thing we miss. We're not outside, and I can't point to the trees and the birds like Christ could. He could do that. He'd say, "Listen, you see the birds of the air, you see the trees, you see the flowers of the field. This is what God makes. You are more important than they are." That's what he's trying to tell us. Now, the Bible gives accounts and or instruction for every type of battle concerning faith. Romans 10:17 tells us, so then faith cometh by hearing. That's the act of hearing, not just the drums beating in your ear. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. It's not some slick-talking preacher. It's, thus saith the Lord. Are you listening? Lord help. I'm sorry, I know where I messed up. I forgot to bring the coffee thing back in the back. All right, this is what we're going to do. I'm going to take us to four places now when it comes to doubt to assurance, okay? Let's get busy. Matthew 14. Matthew chapter 14. You know the situation. You've read it probably many times. Here are the disciples. They are being sent across the Sea of Galilee. Jesus has gone to pray. Now he's coming to meet them in a very unusual way. He's walking on water. Let's pick up this place. I call this a failure of faith. Look at verse 26, Matthew 14. And when the disciples saw him, Jesus, walking on the water, they were troubled, saying, "It's a spirit." And they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, "Be of good cheer. It is I. Be not afraid." And Peter answered him and said, "Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water." And he said, "Come." And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked in the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried, saying, "Lord, save me." And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, "O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt?" Now please, follow me on this. Again, we're talking about going from doubt to assurance. This is for the Christian. This is for the individual that has trusted Christ as Savior. They've got that settled, but now they're going to be growing. This is Christianity 101 right here. This is God taking an individual and stretching them and trying to point out not only to them, but to us as well, how we fall and how we fail and what we can do to keep from that. Understand, please, the failure of Peter's faith was not in the size of the waves, the strength of the wind, or even the fact that it was a miracle at all. Peter's heart went from terror, he's in the boat, and it's just, you know, it's going like crazy, to trust, "Lord, if it be thou, bid me come." But then he went from trust to terror. So from terror to trust to terror. We wind up like that sometimes. God does a work. We listen to him and he says, "Come, come, trust me, take me for Savior, get baptized, now live for me." And we're excited. This is great. We've gone from terror, "Oh my soul, I'm going to hell," to trust, "Praise God, I'm alive in Christ, I'm going to heaven," to terror again because we have stepped out. And all of a sudden, we find ourselves taking our eyes off of the Savior. We all do it. We need to ask ourselves this question. Are we overwhelmed with the situation before us or the strength of God above us? Are we overwhelmed with the situation here? "Oh my soul, what's going to happen to my job? What's going to happen to my health? What's going to happen to my family? What's going to happen to this nation? Oh my, you know, things are going so bad." No, they're not falling apart. Like we've said, they're falling into place. God is on the throne. He's here. He will never leave us nor forsake us. People all over America right now are terrified. In fact, it scares me. It's so sad. I believe that we've gotten to a place where we would literally trade our freedoms for security. I hope not. But we've got situations that are taking a place around this nation right now where people are acquiescing to those that think they have the power to do it and they don't, and they're selling out. No wonder this nation is going towards a socialist system. They're not looking to God for their security. They have to look to government. And I'll guarantee you this, government is not God. Listen, sustaining faith is not a sudden impetuous urge to get out of the boat and get on the water. That's not sustaining faith. Sustaining faith is the sweet reality of the eyes that are looking unto Jesus and they stay there. And that's what growth is. Day after week, after month, after year, as you read the scripture and go through situations, you find out, you look back and you realize the failure of faith in my life is that I keep looking at my situation. I keep looking at the waves. I keep looking at the trouble. And I'm not looking to Him. I'm not looking to Him. The impossible calling of the Lord, the impossible calling of the Lord is maintained by simple faith, even in the midst of the storm. Number two, let's go from a failure of faith to the battle of unbelief. Go to the book of Mark now, if you would, and go to chapter 9. Mark chapter 9. Once again, a familiar story. We've got a dad whose heart is absolutely broken. His son is being driven by demons. His son is not healthy when it comes to spiritual things. His son is being wrenched and torn everywhere. It absolutely tears him apart. What's happening? Look at verse 21. And obviously we're catching it in the middle of the story. And he, Jesus, asked his father, "How long is it ago since this came unto him?" And he said, "Of a child. And oft times it has cast him into the fire and into the waters to destroy him. But if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us." Jesus said unto him, "If thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth." And straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, "Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief." Now, we've looked at the failure of faith. God stretched us a little bit, but now we're in this situation. There's a tough time in front of us. There's a tough time in your life. There's a tough time. You see something, and the fact of the matter is, and by the way, folks, I've been there, and I've used this illustration before. You go to the haunted house down in Disneyland, and it's this big elevator, really, and it, you know, goes down and takes you, but it says, you know, you don't see any walls or doors. I've been in that kind of situation where literally I did not see a way out. I did not. There was no doors, there was no windows. All I saw was walls. I should say that. All I saw was walls. That's it. And yet God made a way. It's the same thing here. We'll come to the Lord and we'll say, "Lord, I believe. Help thou mine unbelief." You ever been there? See, again, this is where God is stretching. Because you've got to understand this. God does not play gotcha games. Every person in here that names the name of Christ, He wants to take you to the same place that He took Paul, where Paul could say, I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. That's where I want to be, 24/7. I hope and pray that's where you want to be, because we're going to need that kind of faith. Listen, folks, this situation that we're in our land right now, this is nothing compared to what's coming. Nothing. And it's going to take Bible faith. It's going to take faith in our God so that we look to the world and we tell them, hey, listen, I have a Savior that's with me. By the way, you can know Him as well. The battle comes down to this, what Jesus said. If thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. Trust, belief, yes. Romans 10:17. God can turn doubt into assurance. But you and I need to start that process. You and I need to understand that not only do we have an opportunity to give the gospel to people right now, not only do we have the opportunity to assure people that there's a God that loves them, but we also need to see what God is doing in us as well. We're looking out and we're seeing government shaken. We're seeing industry shaken. We are seeing people shaken. We might even be shaking a little bit. We don't have to. We can trust Him. He can turn doubt into assurance. The battle of unbelief can be won. Next, go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, would you please? 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Going to look at this now in a little different light, because this is what needs to happen. As God's people, we are called to rightly divide the word of truth. We've said this before. The Bible interprets itself. The Bible is the one book on earth, the one book that when you read it, not only is the author there with you, but the author can help you understand it. But you don't bring in your own interpretation. You understand that the Bible, again, interprets itself. So we're looking at a critical understanding. There were people that were questioning, and again, there's places here, I'm sorry, I can't spend a lot of time because there's a lot of ground to cover. There are people that had great questions, some of which was about death, some of which was about the resurrection, about Christ. Paul, in writing to the church at Corinth, addresses it. But we're going to cut to the chase and get to a specific spot where Paul is dealing with the church at Corinth on the resurrection, and specifically the resurrection of Christ. Look, if you would please, at verse 14. And if Christ be not risen, then our preaching is vain, and your faith is also vain. Yea, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that He raised up Christ, whom He raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. For if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain. Ye are yet in your sins. Then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. Listen now. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. But Now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. Listen, the Jewish leadership hated the Lord. They paid soldiers to lie. Those soldiers could have been put to death if people had found out, if their hierarchy had found out that they had fallen asleep. They'd have been put to death. But the Jewish leadership paid them, saying, hey, you tell the disciples stole the body of Christ. And so they started telling that story. And Jewish people believed it. Okay, that's what happened. That's why Christ is not there. There are people that looked at the truths of the Word of God and they're going, well, is that true? Is that really there? This is what we need to understand here. We need to go from doubt to assurance. This chapter right here, with others, but this chapter especially, gives us a picture of what it's like to take the truths that the Bible is seeking to tell us and teaches us critical thinking. All right? If the dead rise not, if Christ is not risen, then my faith is vain. It's empty. But now, wait a minute. Jesus said he was going to rise from the dead. It had been prophesied. No, if the Romans had really meant that, we know in where we live, they would have been put to death. Peter said, don't you understand? Think. Go to the Scriptures. Seek the truth. If the dead rise not, yes, we are all most miserable. We've lied. You've believed a lie. No, but listen. He is risen. You take the promises of God. You take the truths that God has taught you. And you compare Scripture with Scripture. And your faith will grow. That's how you and I can say, I know whom I have believed. That's how you and I can say, I know he will never leave me nor forsake me. That's how you can say, he has gone to prepare a place for me. God's word tells us plainly. Yeah, but there's some things that God's word hasn't said. I get so confused. Listen. God has given us enough. There's two things that God hasn't opened our eyes to, very plainly. Time and space. He talks about eternity, and he talks about heaven and earth. He talks about the universe that was created. But he doesn't tell us what's on the other side of the farthest star. You know why? That's not important. What's important is we're sinners. But Jesus came and died for us and rose again so that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Don't take the word of just anybody. And please be careful who you listen to on the internet. Not every blogger knows what they're talking about. All right? Let the Bible be your guide. Let the Word of God speak. Many years ago, there were two men, Lord Littleton and Gilbert West. They were both confirmed skeptics. They met in England, and this was their plan. They wanted to demolish Christianity once and for all, completely. They agreed that Christianity rested on two major things, the resurrection of Christ and the conversion of Saul of Tarsus because he wrote so much of the New Testament. If they could undermine these two things, they thought we can destroy Christianity. Gilbert West undertook to disprove the resurrection. Littleton agreed to take on the conversion of Saul of Tarsus. They agreed to separate for a time and then come back, bring their notes together, assemble them, make their arguments, let it be known. Both men, separately and doing what they were doing, trusted Christ as Savior. They couldn't refute it. They could not bring it down. West became the author of a book on the resurrection of Christ. Littleton championed, wherever he went and spoke, the conversion of Saul of Tarsus. Let me tell you something. They've been hating this book for 2 millennia. It's still here. It's still here. And I praise God for it. I want to take you to one more place. I love this. The clock isn't there on the back. I can just keep preaching with a good conscience. I just don't look at my watch. This is the last place we'll go. What time is it? Oh, we're good. I'm going to preach 7 points. I'm just kidding. Hey, go to John 20, would you please? John chapter 20. Because here we're going to be talked about specifically. Again, as I have mentioned before, when my wife and I went to India, we flew into Chennai. If you look at a map of India as it comes down like this, on the western coastline, there was a disciple of Jesus that, according to history, worked his way down and finally came to the state of Kerala. That was Thomas. Thomas, we know as the doubter. But Thomas went on to do great work for God. He actually got to the state down there towards the bottom and started 7 churches. Eventually, the Hindus killed him. But there in Chennai, where we flew into at 1 o'clock in the morning, there is supposedly, and from history, they said, this is it. There is his graveside. There's the place where he's buried. And even the people in India revere it. This is what happened. Jesus came to the disciples. Thomas wasn't there. He said, hey, I need to see the prints in his hand. I need to see his side before I'll believe. Go, if you would please, to verse 26. And after 8 days, again, his disciples were within. And Thomas, this time, was with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst and said, peace be unto you. Then saith he to Thomas, reach hither thy finger, and behold my hand, and thrust it into my side. And be not faithless, but believing. And Thomas answered and said unto him, my Lord and my God. Now watch this. Jesus saith unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen, and yet have believed. That's us. We haven't seen him yet, but we will. Who does this address? There are people, their attitude is this. I need something more than faith and God's word. I need an experience. I need a vision. I need something tangible I can put my hands on. No, you don't. In fact, the Lord speaks directly to us and he says this, blessed, Blessed are they that have not seen, but they believe. To us, faith is not a blind leap in the dark. It has come by critical thinking about the claims of the Word of God and the God of the Word. And we have, through deducing in the Bible what is taught, comparing Scripture with Scripture and letting the Bible interpret itself, we have come to the conclusion Jesus is exactly who He said He was. And we can trust Him. And we, even though we are separate by 2 millennia in all this, we can say with assurance, I know whom I have believed. You can know Him. God can turn doubt into assurance if you will let Him through His Word. Every person ought to walk out of here on the path from question to confidence, from doubt to assurance. Because you see, this is the key. In seeking, according to the Scripture, in seeking, you can know. In knowing, you can trust. In trusting, you can surrender. In surrendering, you can live. And in living, you will know your purpose. Darkness to light, bondage to freedom, doubt into assurance. That is our God. That's His promise. That's our inheritance. I know whom I have believed. Let's pray.